before dawn, December 28th, 2022, and I'm sitting at my gate in Chicago O'Hare Airport, waiting for my flight to Washington, D.C. Over the last week, bitter cold gripped the Midwest, causing even greater flight delays and cancellations during the busy holiday season. In a stroke of good luck, I booked with American Airlines and arrived in Columbus to catch my connecting flight with time to spare. But if you had seen how my day began, you would have thought otherwise.
The chaos surrounding Southwest Airlines cancellations continues.
Southwest.
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 Southwest Airlines.
This is being called one of the worst airline meltdowns in U.S. history.
Diane, we've never seen anything like this.
Southwest Airlines axed about 70% of its flights yesterday, and it's already canceled more than 60% of its flights both today and tomorrow.
Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg tweeted that he'll be speaking about the department's investigation into all of this today.
This morning, it's the familiar picture of an unparalleled holiday travel meltdown.
Winding through the serpentine entrance to O'Hare, I witnessed absolute pandemonium. Thousands of travelers camped out near Southwest terminals, their bags and personal effects littering the floor, children screaming everywhere. All of them united in a simple request to go home. Minutes before my arrival, Southwest Airlines announced the cancellation of a whopping 62% of scheduled flights that day. And in a mad dash, they sought to deliver flight crews and airplanes to their reporting destinations. For decades, Southwest has pitched itself as the gold standard for flyers on a budget. Between their shockingly affordable prices and a la carte style add-ons, Southwest has carefully curated an image of a low-cost airline that invests in local communities. What the shiny exterior fails to show, however, is that as air travel rebounded post-2020, low-cost commercial airlines have struggled to keep up with that increase in demand. In the last 10 days of 2022, Southwest canceled a staggering 16,700 scheduled flights, costing the airline over $250 million in revenue. This travel crisis has exposed a pronounced, inevitable flaw in the low-cost commercial airline model. Their decentralized network of flight attendants, aircraft, and pilots is a house of cards. And it collapsed in spectacular fashion. I'm Bennett Fries, and this is Crash. So how did this happen? Late in the evening of December 28th, Southwest's official Twitter account sent out a video of CEO Bob Jordan apologizing for the cancellations and explaining the situation. In a 2 minute and 42 second video that honestly looks a bit more like a hostage tape than an actual apology, Jordan says that,
"I want everyone who is dealing with the problems we've been facing to know is that we're doing everything we can to return to a normal operation. Southwest is the largest carrier in the country, not only because of our value and our values, but because we build our flight schedule around communities, not hubs."
Then Jordan makes a rather unfounded, frankly false, claim that is interesting to note here.
"So we're the largest airline in 23 of the top 25 travel markets in the U.S. Cities where large numbers of scheduled flights simultaneously froze as record bitter cold brought challenges for all airlines."
Did you catch that? Jordan said that all major airlines were suffering because of this travel disaster. Southwest predictably blamed the entire disaster on the weather. That is, until it became too big of a problem to handle, and they were forced to trot out their CEO on live television. What if I told you that Southwest built their business like this on purpose? In 2012, celebrated transportation expert Kenneth Button published a study that is of profound relevance for this topic. A decade before the Southwest debacle, Button questioned whether low-cost commercial airlines, despite decades of success, are a failed business model. Low-cost airlines occupy a special space in the air travel market by competing with the trifecta of legacy airlines that would be Delta, United, and American Airlines. These three companies are the oldest continuously operating airlines in the U.S., and last year they accounted for a combined 49% of air travel across the country. While typically more expensive, travelers turn to legacy airlines for their reliability and their frequent flyer programs. Remember when Jordan claimed that
record bitter cold brought challenges for all airlines?
Well, reality says differently. The day that I flew home, Southwest canceled nearly 2,500 flights. All three legacy airlines combined canceled less than 40. So there's an obvious consistency gap between these two models. And the reason that legacy airlines offer the kind of consistency that they do is because of what Button calls hub and spoke networks. Legacy airlines operate hubs within major airports and they route their traffic, that is their staff and their customers, through these airports. United Airlines, for example, operates a hub at Chicago O'Hare. And with these hubs come greater investment from the airline in building frequent flyer lounges. Frequent flyer programs serve a dual function in this hub and spoke network. They encourage brand loyalty on the one hand by offering services at hub destinations, and they also have a sort of centralizing effect of travelers and staff. Legacy airlines will likewise have a larger company presence at those airports, and this in effect gives them a cushion to deal with major weather events or unforeseen circumstances. But low-cost airlines, as Button notes, sidestep this model because they don't build hubs. Sure, this cuts some upfront costs, and it allows Southwest to fly longer nonstop routes in some travel markets compared with legacy airlines. This can be very attractive to some consumers, but when major weather events occur and Southwest is forced to cancel and delay flights, it can have a domino effect when flight crews, pilots, and airplanes cannot report to their destinations. Low-cost models ostensibly create a network so disparate that it will naturally be more prone to these types of disasters. While Southwest may claim that they invest in communities, not hubs, ultimately this comes down to saving money. By not operating hubs, Button states that low-cost airlines can keep costs to a minimum by charging for onboard services, having quick turnaround times for their aircraft, cutting out sales commissions, and striking hard bargains with airports and other suppliers. But this only reduces a minute number of fixed costs. The reality is that there are only so many ways to cut costs in the commercial airline industry, and this is why the margin of profit is historically so slim. An airline must contend with leasing or buying airplanes, paying for spaces to land those planes, coordinating crews for takeoff, and access to a tremendous amount of jet fuel. All of these expenses must be paid, whether a plane is at max capacity or completely empty. So, to turn a profit, Southwest predicates its business on offering cut-rate fares to drive greater sales in the near term. But when they charge considerably less than their competitors, they recover a smaller percentage of their marginal costs. And there's a fair amount of economic jargon that goes into the difference between marginal, fixed, and variable costs. But what's essential to understand for this conversation is that recovering a smaller percentage of marginal costs means that carriers like Southwest spend more of the money that they make with new reservations on their day-to-day operations. This gives them the illusion of appearing cash rich while burning through money to pay for immediate expenses. In poor market conditions, like a housing crisis or a global pandemic, the ramifications of this model can be dire. because Southwest relies on the consistent stream of cash they receive when flyers are traveling consistently. Likewise, when travel rebounds after those events, low-cost carriers become overladen, stretched to their max, because the model relies on consistency. Throw in a major snowstorm or a flood, and Southwest becomes so brittle that they crash. These factors lead Button to conclude that despite the rapid growth of low-cost airlines like Southwest, success for a few firms is not the same thing as a successful long-term business model. So at this point in the episode, I do want to remind everyone that this conversation is a lot more nuanced than simply stating that low-cost carriers are an irrevocably failed business model, because that's not true. They're not irrevocably failed. But legacy airlines obviously operate more efficiently, so efficiently that like major weather events don't actually pose a serious threat to their operations. But in a healthy market environment, monopolies are broken by companies that can produce the same or similar product for a cheaper price than their competitors. By extension, low-cost carriers play some role in checking the market price that are set by legacy airlines. Deciding how to proceed now is very tricky, because if we push too hard, legacy airlines will simply absorb all of those routes that they had and expand their monopoly. Southwest could offer more consistency by, at minimum, investing in hub locations for their staff. They could address the flight crew and pilot shortage by raising their wages and making it a more attractive workplace. Or they could refrain from spending the money that they make on new bookings every day on their daily operations. Instead, they've chosen to update their aging scheduling software, which doesn't exactly fix the problem, but it's something. If saving a couple of bucks comes at the price of mass cancellations and hysteria, next time I think I'll just book American. I'm Bennett Fries. Thanks for listening.